Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Banned Books Week is an annual event celebrating the freedom to read. Typically, it's held during the last week of September, and this year, it happens September 30th to October 6th. Banned Books Week highlights the value of free and open access to information, and it brings together the entire book community, librarians, booksellers, publishers, journalists, teachers, and readers of all types, in shared support of the freedom to seek and to express ideas, even those some consider unorthodox or unpopular. To talk about Banned Books Week, this morning I have in the studio Candace Watkins. Candace is the librarian for Clatsop Community College. Hi, Candace.
Hello.
Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
I also have Nancy Ross. Nancy is a board member of the ACLU Oregon, American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon.
Good Welcome. Morning.
Thank you, Nancy, for being here. Before we talk about what Banned Books Week means and the events that are going to be happening in honor of that, let's just talk a little bit about each of you. So, Candace, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I've been the librarian up at Clatsop Community College for about 7 years now. I live in town with my husband and my 9-year-old son, who's a fourth grader at Lewis and Clark. And before that, I lived in Corvallis for a number of years, but grew up in Texas. But I consider myself an historian now and enjoy living in such a art-rich community and diverse community and book-loving community, too.
We are readers.
Yes, you are.
Yes, we are readers here, and that's a very good thing. Because, Nancy, you just said something very important before we went on the air, and I hope you'll say it again about how we learn things. But, all right, Nancy Ross, tell us about yourself.
Well, I too live here in Astoria, but maybe not quite as long as Candace. I married an Astoria man about 5 years ago and actually still ran my business in Portland. So I've only been here a couple of years, but I'm spreading my wings and enjoying the liberal oasis of Astoria. I am on the board of directors for the American Civil Liberties Union, and I spend most of my time working on issues that are relevant and important to the liberties of Americans.
We talked a little earlier about the ACLU, and you said that it is sometimes misperceived.
Certainly.
Why don't we, before we talk about Banned Books Week, let's just talk a teeny bit about ACLU.
Well, I think the ACLU can certainly come up against people who say, what an anti-American organization, or they can suggest that perhaps they do anti-American activities, when in fact it's just the opposite. The ACLU only supports the Bill of Rights. They only back the Constitution. And in fact, they're so diverse that there are many of us who have to cringe with some of the cases they do take, like supporting Rush Limbaugh, for instance, when in turn he, you know, can do nothing but ACLU bash when he speaks of them. So they aren't about people, they aren't about religions, they aren't about diversity as far as social or economic or where you come from. They are supporters of the Bill of Rights, and they will always back those who are being harmed.
And the ACLU cares about Banned Books Week because?
Because it's a First Amendment issue. It's the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press.
All right. Banned Books Week is in its 30th year. This is the 30th anniversary, correct? What is it? Why did it start?
Well, I think it's from a librarian's perspective. Libraries are about access to information, diverse ideas, especially those that are often not represented in dominant culture. The history of censorship, there's always been censorship, and there will always be censorship, probably. From the ACLU's perspective and from libraries' perspective, you know, that's our job, is to fight that censorship. Books have been banned throughout the 20th century. There are, you know, running lists of classic works that have been banned, like, of course, Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, Salinger's Catcher in the Rye, and, you know, more contemporary examples, too. I mean, every single year, there are books, a list of books that are banned in Oregon, mainly in school districts and public libraries. So, you know, Harry Potter, that's one of the most modern examples, Hunger Games, and a lot of children's books, but also all sorts of examples. So that's, you know, that's a little bit of the history of why we have to stand up as libraries and librarians to fight the censorship, to continue to offer access to all of these ideas so that people can become exposed to other ideas and better contributors to our local communities and to our global communities too.
Nancy, why don't you also give us your perspective on Banned Books Week, because it's censorship, as Candace just said, has been around for a very, very long time, will always be with us. But 30 years ago, librarians and other folks got together and said, let's have a week to bring awareness to the fact that this is continuing as we speak. It is ongoing through in communities and states throughout the United States. There are always books being challenged and banned. So could you tell us about that?
It's a simple and yet complex idea that it is only unpopular speech that needs protection. Popular speech is popular. Nobody ever says anything. But unpopular speech is that challenges us, that takes on a social discussion that might make you uncomfortable. But how else are you to grow, to learn, to be repulsed, or to be enlightened, or to be brokenhearted? Those are the values that develop our core, that make us a larger human being, and make us sensitive to others and other issues. It is the only way we establish social change is through learning, and we can either learn through experience or we can learn through books.
And right now, we have a list of books that have been banned and books that, and there, but as we say, what is the process for, why does somebody want to ban a book or challenge a book? How does that happen? And typically you're saying it happens in a school district or in a library. So let's say, and maybe you think it's small town America, but maybe not. Maybe it's in a city. Give me an example of how that happens.
Okay, let me give you just two examples of two books, one for a very young child and one for a little older, that's for the same reason. Charlotte's Web and the Harry Potter series. They both are criticized for having a darkness in that one of the main characters in the stories die. Without being a spoiler, I think most people know Harry Potter's story starts off with his parents being murdered. And in Charlotte's Web, of course, Charlotte herself dies. And parents think that young children aren't able to understand death, that it is the thing nightmares are made of. But I would argue, along with many like-minded people, that that is how we learn to handle death, that that's how we learn to handle fears, is by watching them, reading them, understanding them. Will it take away the pain of death? Of course not. But it won't be the first experience or the first understanding of that, to not allow somebody to learn about ideas that they haven't yet experienced, is taking something away from them.
So typically people who want to have a book banned are people who have perhaps strong political beliefs, religious beliefs, and they don't want their children or anyone else reading or being exposed to something that they wouldn't expose them to in their household.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
But
and,
Sorry.
I was just going to add that, so you were asking, you know, how do they go about banning or challenging a book? Most commonly, they take it to a school board and challenge it at the school board, or maybe to library board of directors at a public library. And then it goes through a formal challenge and probably some type of public hearing or meeting in which it's discussed. And then the board, the respective boards make the decision whether to accept that challenge or to overturn it.
Okay.
But it's not just books, although this is Banned Book Week. It's a very common line. I don't want it, so you shouldn't have it either. I don't want women's reproductive rights, so you shouldn't have them. I don't want to take part in death with dignity, so you shouldn't get to. And again, it falls right in with the books. I don't want my family to read about it. Your family shouldn't read about it either.
Mm-hmm. And there's a difference. You were telling me a true story about penguins.
and Tango Makes Three. That's right. It's a children's book. It's based on a true story about two male penguins at New York City Zoo, and they raise a baby together. And it's based on a true story, and yet it's been banned. I can't remember the exact date that it was published, but it's been on the hot list of banned books since it was published, based on challenge due to homosexual content marriage equality. Maybe it was referencing. Subtle references to marriage equality, and some people don't like those ideas, and so they challenge it.
The important difference about Entango Makes Three, though, is it's a true story. How does one challenge the truth? It may make you uncomfortable. You may choose not to read it to your child, but the fact is, these penguins raised an egg. They held it on their little feet. They kept it warm. They got it through the winter, and in spring, here comes Tango. It is true. And if we censor truth, what have we become?
Well, we have to just look at current events right now. Candace, you and I were talking about that earlier, too.
Exactly. We face freedom of speech issues every single day, we take it for granted as Americans because it's a cornerstone of our country. But with the internet and the possibility to voice our opinions so much more easily, for example, the anti-Islam video that was posted on YouTube, and the ramifications of that have been great, with unrest, with violence, with death across the world. So there's no easy answer. I think when we talk about books, it's easier to get a handle on it because it's print media. But with this expanded opportunity to broadcast a message that is the internet, it becomes a lot more murky. And I think it's important. I don't think any of us have the right answer to those situations, but it's important to continue to have the conversation.
And that's what we're doing with Banned Books Week, because there are conversations happening all over the nation. This is a nationwide event. And I think it's important to also know that for those of you listening, and which for me to also understand, is that a book is banned typically in a community, a town, a school district, or a library in a state. There's no federal banning. There is just individuals. They make the difference, and it is continuing on. It just is something that is not going away.
That's right. I mean, like I said earlier, there will always be censors. There always have been. And something that, really bothers me about it is the revisionist history factor, and we see it. The novel George Orwell's 1984 discussed it. The danger of revisionism, of rewriting history, of obliterating it and covering it up, and twisting minds to your purpose for control and power. So when we talk about banning Huckleberry Finn because it uses the N-word, what is that teaching our children? Are we teaching them that never happened, that we never talk like that? Because, well, we did. America has a history, and we've evolved quite a bit with civil rights, but we need to teach our children how it used to be, how African Americans were treated in this country, and how we've evolved together to deal with those situations in a better way.
So, Candace, I could actually go into a library or in a school or in just a regular public library, and I could ask for Huckleberry Finn, and in one state, in one place, I could get the book, and in another place, I would not be able to find it. They wouldn't have it.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what happens. That's Banned Books Week. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking about Banned Books Week, which is an annual event. This is the 30th year. It happens this year, September 30th to October 6th. And there are a lot of events, which we're going to talk about, happening here in Clatsop County and throughout the nation. My guests are Nancy Ross. She is a board member of the ACLU Oregon, and Candace Watkins, who is a librarian at Clatsop Community College. Should we talk about the events that are happening, or should we talk a little bit, since we're talking about books, why don't we talk about what are some of the books that have been banned?
Well, so many, hundreds, thousands perhaps, but some of the ones I can remember reading growing up or really enjoying were ones like Anne Frank's Diary, or how about Shel Silverstein's A Light in the Attic? I can remember night after night, I'd pick one and then one of my kids would pick one. And back and forth we would go. The Secret Garden or Lady Chatterley's Lover. I learned a lot. And there's great ones. Even I can remember reading Harry Potter to my kids. Catcher in the Rye, Gone with the Wind, To Kill a Mockingbird, Lord of the Flies. How about The Call of the Wild by Jack London? My gosh, if you can ban Jack London, well, I don't know what to say.
Okay, here's what I don't understand, though. Okay, let's say that I'm a parent. I have a particular belief system. I don't want Call of the Wild for some, and so I go and I make my case to the school board. But it's just I don't want my child to learn about death and survival in the wild, or whatever the reason would be that someone would want that book to be banned. And then this group of people would just take my opinion, and they would, if they agree with me, then they're going to ban it. And if they don't agree with me, they won't.
Well, I think it's more of a hearing. I mean, that's where the importance of a community and being active about addressing censorship comes into play, because, you know, you don't want just one person in a community who feels strongly about an issue to dictate whether something is banned or not. You have to go to the board meetings, too. You have to have the courage to stand up and say, hey, this shouldn't be banned because of that. You know, it's important that we have access to that material. So that important aspect of community participation is so essential.
We'd all like to think that we're open-minded. However, we all have our prejudices. We all can, you know, we all can see our own selves when we are being perhaps closed-minded, and that happens. However, the idea is to allow open access for information. You don't have to read it yourself, but if someone else wants to, right. Then...
And more dangerously, as you said, we can see when we're being closed-minded is when we can't see we're being closed-minded. When we think our opinion is the right answer and we can rally the people around us to agree, and by that an action is taken that then keeps it from everybody else. And that's always dangerous, and it should always be fought for. Civil liberty should always be defended. There's never a case that they shouldn't be.
Yeah, and I read something recently that, you know, described censorship as being about exclusivity. If you're being exclusive to considering other ideas, to allowing access to other ideas, then you're censoring. Now, that's different than a library selecting its material, for example, because that's all often been, you know, part of the conversation. Well, don't libraries censor because you select judiciously your content in a library? Well, that's different because libraries, the foundation of libraries, number one, is about inclusivity, about allowing other ideas and access to other ideas, and also using a professional set, a list of standards, of quality standards to choose the content of libraries.
Based on budget and based on...
On mission.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
And size of library.
Yes.
And size of library.
All right. Let's talk about some of the events happening during Banned Books Week, September 30th to October 6th. What's happening here in our neighborhood?
Well, I'm going to talk about the Astor Library.
Yeah, okay.
I'm assuming you're going to talk about the college.
So, definitely.
We have at the Astor Library on the 29th, they're hosting an Oregon Humanities Project, To Cut or Not to Cut, Censorship in Literature. It's being held by a Reed College professor, Pancho Savare. And it is, again, is it September 29th at 2 p.m. On October 5th, there will be a trivia night at the Astor Library with prizes, and they're using the banned books as part of their theme. There'll also be a large display in the library, and they will help you select a banned book if that's something you'd like to pick up and read.
That's right. I remember once I read a book that was banned during Banned Book Week, and I think that was probably in support of Banned Books Week or something. Maybe they'll do that
and
again.
Pick up a Banned Book Week button. There's lots of them around town. Show your support. At Lucy's Books, and I'm not going to be a spoiler, all I'm going to tell you is the window will be blackened and there will only be a peephole. Look if you dare.
Ooh, how irresistible.
Oh, all right. We like that. We like surprises in Astoria. Okay. And that's what's happening in Astoria. And there are other things in Seaside and Cannon Beach, but let's go to Classic Community College right now.
Yeah. So up at the college, we'll, of course, have our display of banned books and a selection of banned books that you can choose from. I have a webpage on the library's webpages that lists some links so that you can see the books that have been banned in Oregon this past year, as well as the more classically banned books. And, you know, for me, at one point, I made it a challenge to myself to start down that list of banned books and challenge myself to read each and every one of them, especially on that classically banned books list. And it was a very enriching project, and I haven't even made my way completely through, but it's still a goal. And then, of course, our the main event that we're having is Wednesday, October 3rd, and it's going to be in Toller Hall on campus, and we're having a banned book reading. So members from the campus community and the greater community will read five-minute snippets from their favorite banned books. And we'll have President Galizio, a faculty member, some staff, a student, as well as Peter Hudala, county commissioner, and Karen Mellon, who sits on the Astoria City Board. So it should be a lot of fun.
What time is that?
That is from noon to 1.
Okay, noon to 1 on Wednesday, October 3rd.
Exactly.
Okay.
The ACLU is videotaping it, and it will be sent to the Portland office, where the five-minute snippets will be edited down to make one about five-minute video, which will then be uploaded to the American Library Association Read Out Loud. And it is a 24-hour feed that they'll run for 7 days during Banned Book Week, and they will have representation from all 50 states. And thank you for participating in that.
Thank you.
One thing also I think we should mention, Candace, since we're here, is that a lot of listeners may not realize that they can use the Clatsop Community College Library.
Yes, exactly. Our library is open to the community. Of course, we provide internet access, and you can come up, you can grab a computer, you don't have to show ID or anything, and you can gain borrowing privileges simply by paying $5 for 3 months or $20 a year, which is a pretty good deal for county residents.
For us to have two libraries, which, I mean, and I here's the question now, this is a very weird question. Okay, what books are banned at Astor Library and at Clatsop Community College Library? Are there some banned books there?
I don't know of any banned books at our library. I'm not sure. I can't speak for
okay.
Astor Public
Library.
Public libraries generally get, you know, a lot more challenges.
And school libraries the most.
Right, exactly. Now, what about, and Seaside and Cannon Beach are also having events.
Can I give them a little shout out?
You bet.
Great. So the Seaside Library is doing a display, and they're also doing a trivia contest with prizes. 50 banned book labels, 10 of which are not banned. You need to figure out which 10 aren't. And as I said, there's prizes with that. And Beach Books is also doing a read out loud. Theirs is not being taped, but it's on the 5th, which is a Friday, at 10 o'clock in the morning. And they have a big display set up as well.
So what would you like people to do or know about Banned Books Week? I think you said something important earlier, Candace, which is the community has to be engaged and involved if there's an event. Right now, it doesn't appear that in this community there are challenges to books, right? There aren't any?
I don't know about that. There definitely could be. And that's something to keep an eye on. I don't think that there have been. And looking at the recent challenges in Oregon within the past year, I haven't seen any. But it's always good to keep your eye out for that kind of thing, to visit Oregon Library Association, keeps an eye on that. ACLU of Oregon lists that every year on their website. So visit those websites, participate in the events that are going on during Banned Book Week. And I would say also just to really keep yourself, try to keep on top of the issues of free speech that occur in our daily lives, whether it's the anti-Islam video, the ability to broadcast your opinion so freely across the internet, issues like Pussy Riot, the Russian punk ban, and the ramification of their free speech was 2 years in prison. So trying to keep on top of current events, realizing it's free speech, and understanding how that reflects back on our society and you as an individual.
And going to these websites, Terry wanted me to ask about downloading a list of banned books, and I'm sure that that's feasible on the there's a banned book website, and the American Library Association has a website, which would probably have those, correct?
Definitely. American okay. Library Association. And the ACLU of Oregon has a nice Oregon banned books
list. It does. ACLU of Oregon /bannedbooks.org.
All right. So you can get a banned book button. You can read a banned book. And you can find more about the events on which website would be best.
Gosh, I think all of them have it.
Okay.
This is something we're pretty excited about.
Yeah, and our local events, obviously, you know, you can call the college if you missed the information on that, or you can call the Astor Library or Seaside and Cannon Beach if you're living here in Clatsop County. We just have a few moments left. What are the other important things you'd like the listening audience to know?
That social discussion is about uncomfortable issues. That we do not, as a society, have an ability to move forward unless we talk about unpleasant and unpopular things. Yes, they can tear at your heart. Yes, they can be difficult to get through. But it is so important in our learning, in our teaching children to be critical thinkers, and in our ability to show compassion for people who are not like us, to learn about them, but also to learn that they are not villains of any kind.
Well said. Candace?
Well, as a librarian, the access to information is so vital. But it's not just the access that's important, but it's the education and how to use that information, how to synthesize it as an individual, how to have critical thinking, to make ourselves into productive local and global citizens. And that's what libraries do, and that is what librarians do. And the importance still of having librarians at the college level and the K through 12 level, I can't state that any more importantly. They've been axed at every level of K through 12, and I think it's a detriment to our children. So we need to shore up that support for free speech, for access to information, and for the education element of how to use that information responsibly.
It takes a lot of courage to be a free thinker and to break free of cultural and social conditioning of all different types. And I think you've said something important, Nancy, which is to teach our children, to allow our children to have access to information to become critical thinkers. And obviously there are different times and phases and stages. However, I know when I was raising my daughter, I wanted her to learn for herself to experience, and as you say, that's and to deny that, to just show one part of the picture is unfair. And I really appreciate what you do with ACLU and what you're doing at the library. And any last thing, Nancy?
We appreciate what you do here at the radio station.
Well, that's right. And we're all part of it. I mean, this radio station. And I think that we do have to, as much as we'd like to stay in our comfort zone and be with people who are of like mind, it's very important. You're right. Unless we look outside and see other people don't feel the same way I feel. They don't think the same way I think. And so maybe I have to look at why I believe what I believe, to question things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this is about, is are you going to allow people to question, you know, what they have perhaps been, you know, taught and what they've learned from their parents or from their culture or whatever. And so Banned Books Week is a huge part of that. Thank you so much. And Terry Wilson, thank you. And Candace, that looks like a great event that you're going to be having at the college on October 3rd. So make sure you can try to attend that. And Nancy Ross of ACLU, thank you so much for all the good work you're doing.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we'll do this another time about other issues with
I
ACLU.
I hope so.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Talk of Our Towns with our fabulous engineer, Terry Wilson. Thank you so much, Terry. And also, I want to express my appreciation to Michael Brunn, who is our local talented banjo instructor here in Astoria. He created the theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, and focus on those good things, expand on them, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.